Mini episode 870 of the FDH Lounge is brought to you by Sportsology, delivering unconventional columns and webcasts about sports, TV, music, movies, and more. Follow them on the web at sportsology.com.
The FDH Lounge. You want to schedule your life around it.
A long time ago, on a gloomy, wet Cleveland spring night, two men stand alone amidst the late night drizzle. Their voices echo across the vacant station parking lot as they debate the merits of the great American radio show that have been missing for far too long. On that night, an idea was born. That idea became the FDH Lounge. Welcome to the FDH Lounge.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to FDH Lounge mini episode number 870. I've got with you today FDH Lounge dignitaries Rick Morris and Jake Digman. We are here to break down the farce of the century, fight of the century, Mayweather and McGregor on August 26th from Las Vegas, a city which I understand is suffering a little bit of soft ticket sales for this fight as it's coming in. So apparently people aren't having, they're not akin to spending large amounts of money to have their intelligence insulted as I thought they might be. Jake, are you at all surprised by this, given the amount of hype that's out there, that any of the ticket sales might not be as strong as people would have thought? Does it prove that you can really overestimate or underestimate, as it were, the intelligence of the American people?
Oh yeah, this is the most overhyped exhibition fight since Rocky Balboa took on Thunder Lips back in 1983. and you got to look also. Vegas is actually a very smart crowd. It's the home of the UFC for all intents and purposes.
Right.
Home of boxing in this country. There's a boxing match, a good boxing match, that actually took place this past weekend,
mm-hmm.
or the weekend after. I'm not, correct me if I'm wrong on this one, but I think it was Canelo's fighting, and that sold out.
Right. I think that's September 16th, yeah, against Triple G.
September 16th? Okay.
Against the Russian fella, yeah.
Yeah, it's at the same venue, sold out, because, I mean, that's an actual boxing match. This is a glorified show. This is pro wrestling. I mean, it is a glorified exhibition bout that is going to be all hoopla and media circus. But then again, you know, they're doing something right, because everyone I talk to is like, yeah, it's going to suck, but I'm going to watch it.
Yeah, well, we'll see how many people are paying to watch it and how many people are bootlegging this sucker. We shall see on that one. What it's reminiscent of...
I expect a heavy bar crowd for this one.
Yeah, I think so. I just got a Facebook message a couple minutes ago from a friend who, not in Cleveland, but somebody out of town, who said, yeah, Saturday I'm going to watch it at a bar where I live. So there's going to be a lot of that going on. Very interesting that you mentioned pro wrestling, because the immediate analog that comes to my mind when I'm thinking about this, I was alive at the time, but a small child, have no memory of it. You were not alive at the time. 76. Inoki and Ali, something that people didn't necessarily think was going to be a farce going in, but really turned out to be. The one where Inoki ends up just on his back and basically just trying to throw kicks and everything like that. And I guess Ali ended up in the hospital with damage to his legs after the fight. But talk about whether or not the fight was supposed to be worked, which it would be surprising to me if Inoki, a pro wrestler, were to balk at the notion of a worked fight. But somehow or another, there was a breakdown that led to that happening, the whole boxer versus wrestler thing. And it was kind of a similar thing for Ali back in the day. He'd been through the thrill in Manila. He had proven himself as the greatest fighter of his generation. He'd beaten George Foreman 2 years earlier. Didn't seem to have much left in the way of challenges. He would run into late career challenges just by dint of being older and slower, that where younger fighters not as good were able to kind of batter him. So too it seems to be with Mayweather. He's a guy who more or less ran out of challenges in his own time. The cynic in me would say that he just waited until Pacquiao was old enough that he posed less of a challenge. But be that as it may, he won that fight. Mayweather, on paper, looks around, sees nobody to be able to beat anyways. No more challenges here. You bring in a guy from MMA, a guy who is basically his counterpart as far as being the best in his weight class, and somebody who, again, is very, very good at throwing the fists, But again, this is where you and I were talking about this to kind of open up here in terms of the boxing versus MMA kind of a thing. You put these two guys in a back alley, I'll pay to watch that, just not least of which because Floyd Mayweather's woman beating ass is going to be a grease spot on the ground. But in a ring where McGregor is where he is basically tethered to basically one thing here, he's going to lose his fight purse and I think be legally liable if he goes MMA on Mayweather's ass. It seems to me, and it seems obvious to everybody, and you're talking about this with Vegas and everything like that, that the very fix is in the rules here. The fact that it is being exclusively, as it were, on Floyd Mayweather's canvas.
Well, I mean, yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, it is a boxing match, so,
yes.
But they did do the negotiation to the 8-ounce gloves.
Yes.
That would come in here, but here's the thing on all this. All of this is, for every what Conor McGregor is, sure, he delivers inside the octagon, but it's the media hype train. It is to get everyone, you know, you mentioned earlier about, you know, if Floyd were to, or if Conor were to go all MMA on him, as it were, and how he loses. But that's the intrigue. That's what people are tuning in to see. They're tuning in to see if he's going to get frustrated, get hit, and then instinctively, which I find is so hilarious, he's instinctively going to do a takedown. Now, there's two schools of thought on that. One, many years ago, besides announcing MMA, I announced kickboxing. We had a bunch of MMA guys that were competing on the kickboxing show. At one time, a guy got tagged, and he did instinctively go for a takedown. So the possibility is there that something like that could take place. However, I don't see that taking place. I see Floyd. This fight goes as long as Floyd Mayweather wants this fight to go. If the best boxers in the world couldn't touch Floyd Mayweather, how is a guy who, for all of his accomplishments he's done inside MMA, inside UFC, it's not boxing. It's not boxing. So how is a guy who's never had a professional boxing fight going to match up with arguably the greatest fighter of all time and definitely the greatest fighter of this generation? It's, you look at it on paper, it's just like, huh? But again, that's why I think we're going to get a show, because that's all it is a show. It's an exhibition. There's there's nothing to win here. I mean, Conor McGregor wins, okay, you beat an old Floyd Mayweather. Floyd Mayweather wins, you were supposed to win. I don't see women, it's just, give us your money, basically, is all it is.
It is. By the way, I'm glad you mentioned the MMA ring announcing and kickboxing ring announcing, because this is one of these things where whenever I am, whenever your name comes up in a conversation, whenever I mention you to any of my friends, it's always preceded by my good friend, the world's finest MMA ring announcer, Jake Digman, comma. It's always with that preface on it. So, but I got your back, buddy. But as far as, let me draw you out on the specifics there of what you just said, because there might be, you know, again, for all of the things here in life that are supposed to be, you know, death and taxes level guarantee, you look at what could happen here, again, if, you know, Mayweather walks in there with 105 degree fever Saturday night, any of the things basically that shouldn't happen. If Mayweather accidentally on purpose goes down because he decides the money's in the chase, allegedly, not that I'm saying fix or anything like that, because I would never say that, but anyways, this is one of these circumstances where, and it seems perfect to me, that somebody as fundamentally selfish as Floyd Mayweather, he is perfectly poised not to care about what I'm going to say. I somewhat disagree with you a little bit as far as the stakes go, because if the extreme unlikelihood happens and he loses, this is a big slap in the face or continued major loss of credibility for boxing at a time when it's already being strongly eclipsed by MMA. And you have to look at that and you have to think, if an MMA guy can go into a boxing ring and beat a guy on his own turf, on his own terms, again, it's a circumstance that almost certainly won't happen. But if it did happen, can you honestly tell me that it wouldn't be a major, major blow for boxing at a time when it's just reeling in the face of MMA's onslaught? Even at a time when, again, UFC They're going through a little bit of a fallow period relative to where they have been, but they're still kicking boxing's ass on pay-per-view and have been for years.
I see your point on that, but I my take on it is, okay, if the fight 2 weeks after that delivers, no one's going to care. If McGregor beats Floyd Mayweather, and then 2 weeks later, because again, it goes back to it's an exhibition.
Right.
It's a glorified exhibition fight. So if the actual fight that boxing fans truly care about delivers like everyone thinks it's going to, then right away. And to the point where you mentioned, how MMA's beating down boxing. Boxing has actually is still really good, especially the international markets. I mean, they're selling out these 80,000 seat soccer stadiums for boxing matches over there. So there's a huge market for it. And like, you go on HBO and stuff like that, there still is a very large contingency of people still support the sports science. And the pay-per-view numbers, I don't have them in front of me. I was ill-prepared. But, the numbers actually will show to match that people still come out to buy boxing. Like, last year, I believe, drew over a million buys, if I'm not mistaken. Again, I don't have it in front of me.
Yeah.
More recently. So, it's like, there's still a huge draw for that. Like, the UFC, you mentioned with them, their problem is they've completely oversaturated the market, and they don't have enough talent that they've built up to sell shows. Pretty much their marketable guys are Conor McGregor right now, and Brock Lesnar, doesn't even work there.
Yeah.
And that's no knock on personal friends of mine.
Right.
It's just like, you look at the pay-per-view numbers, and again, this goes back to the UFC's inability to create new stars.
Well, that's true.
I mean, after Ronda Rousey, everyone they're kind of like, they rode that gravy train, and that gravy train's gone. And now Conor McGregor's doing the boxing thing right now. Yeah, I mean, you got guys like Mighty Mouse Johnson,
right,
who is going to break the all-time record, but no one knows who he is.
Well, I understand that, and it didn't happen for this time around. Dana White was trying to get your buddy, the still relatively new bantamweight champ on Dancing with the Stars, to follow up on the great performance against Dominic Cruz. So there's guys that are marketable like that. Cody Garbrandt is very marketable. I would say Stipe, we've talked about this before on the show, is a real-life Rocky. There's certainly more they can do with him, which, by the way, here's hoping that UFC comes around on that one and they can get our boys.
Pay the man.
Yeah, exactly. Pay the man. Get him back in there on fair terms. No more of this bull crap where the challengers are making more bank than he is when he's on the verge of becoming the most dominant heavyweight champion of all time. So, yeah, I'm not underestimating UFC and MMA's issues when I talk about this with boxing. And you're right that boxing still, with the occasional big fights, can really pop the gate here. Something that is, I know, a disappointment for you as well as me when we're looking at the undercard of this fight in terms of boxing. I know we were looking forward to seeing one of our own here, Stowe, Ohio's own, Sean Porter. Obviously, that makes him a big favorite of our good friends, FDH Lounge dignitaries Anthony and Matt Patrone from Stowe. They are his biggest fans. Sean Porter, the former welterweight champion of the world, was to compete on the undercard this week. A last-minute scratch here due to apparently some kind of tragedy in the family. Thoughts and prayers for the family of Sean Porter. So he has withdrawn. That's a thing here where, get priorities out of whack here, because he's got to do what he's got to do. But I feel very badly for the missed opportunity, as far as both for boxing and for him, because he's a charismatic guy. He's a fun guy. That's a guy that boxing, can really kind of build itself around. If you're looking at guys that are stars for the future, he, of course, was in that big prime time fight on CBS that Mauro Ranallo called, I think, back last summer, actually. And I was wearing my Cavs Chinese New Year's shirt for that fight. It worked. I wore it for the first three times ever when the Cavs were down 3-1 in the finals. I wore it the next three games. We all know what happened. I put it on for the Sean Porter fight about a week or so later. That's the first time that shirt came up empty, Jake. But it's a shame that this young man will not be on the undercard this weekend here.
Yeah, that is unfortunate. A big opportunity for Sean, but also, fans family first. you got to do what you got to do, and it's unfortunate. And hopefully, he comes back and is better and stronger than ever. But a lot of eyes are going to be. It's funny. This is back to the problem with boxing. Okay.
Yeah.
You just mentioning this. I don't know anybody who's on the undercard, and no one knows who's on the undercard, and no one ever knows who's on the undercard ever, unless you're such a big fanatic.
Right.
Like, I've been to a closed circuit viewing in Vegas for Mayweather and De La Hoya,
uh-huh.
And I was at the Mandalay Bay, and no one even got there until like the main event.
Right.
Like, all this money, and you show up for the main event, and that's it.
Yeah, but here's the thing, though. Let me put it to you this way, though, and it's a thing where, and I'm not going to say that you're necessarily inside the MMA bubble, but you're a big fan. You're a big fan more so certainly than the average person. I'm kind of the same way for a big UFC fight, Jake. I don't necessarily know too many of the people that are on the undercard. I may know what the main event is.
Yeah.
Oh, exactly. So it's like, you know, to a certain extent, UFC, I think, has that too. Although I will grant you this, that when you start going down the list of the champions and everything like that, and even the more prominent names of the past and the immediate past, I think they definitely have more of a Q factor than boxing. Boxing is a thing here where I think the barometer has always been the heavyweight division. And with Vladimir Klitschko retiring recently here, this is one of these things where, I mean, it's a shame. I hate to say this about the man, but the first thing that's going to be on his professional obituary is that the interest in the heavyweight division plummeted while he was on top. Now, you will probably throw at me the worldwide thing, as you did before, and you'd be right about that. But America also matters, Jake. That's the thing here too. You can sell,
absolutely, yeah.
You can fill all the soccer stadiums in Germany you want to, but you know, and again, and we didn't judge past heavyweight champions by that. So obviously, globally, he's done better than most. But domestically, he did worse than most, and that's where the division is right now. And it's kind of a shame.
Yeah, it is a shame, but I mean, it's also one of those things where it will always be there.
Right.
Like, it's, I mean, it may not, we're hopefully, you know, we're a far cry away from the old days of Mike Tyson, Don King, ruling the roost.
Right.
But it also, it's like boxing is, you know, everyone still is like, you know, MMA to boxing. Boxing is part of MMA. Always.
Right.
It's a facet of it. So it's never going to go away. It's like, it just is what it is.
Well, that's true. That's true. And, you know, you look at it, and it's one of these things where, selfishly, I'm somebody that, as a kid, you know, grew up on, you know, enjoying heavyweight boxing and everything like that, and until it really faded into...
Wide world of sports.
Yes, until it faded into irrelevance, yeah. I mean, the heavyweight division... You know, I say this as somebody who, you know, really used to love it back in the day. But one part of it that's pretty cool, I got to admit, is after Stipe won the heavyweight title, you know, like when I would be talking to older people I knew who didn't know much of anything about it, you know, I would just kind of frame it as he's the heavyweight champion of the world. Think what that used to mean in boxing. Now it's MMA. Like, nobody cares about the heavyweight title in boxing. Now it's, are you the UFC world heavyweight champion? And that's Stipe. So, you know, in a way, it's kind of good for our guy, because baddest man on the planet used to be heavyweight champion in boxing, and I think it's now universally regarded as heavyweight champion in UFC.
I would agree with that statement, and especially with what he's doing. When this fight was first announced, he tried to pencil his way onto here too. He called out the boxing champion. I'm afraid his name slipped in my head. His name is slipping me right now.
I forget which one too. I know what you mean, but I forget. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so I'm like, I'm like, good for you, man. Get paid.
Well.
And on that too, it's interesting because, like, we brought up the pro wrestling angle.
Yeah.
And a lot of stuff. And again, this fight is a perfect example of that, with a reliance on past stars like pro wrestling does.
That's
right.
They
bring out the names from the past, and you got this right here. I mean, sure. I mean, I guess Floyd Mayweather. I mean, he's not really a name from the past, but it's, again, it's a gimmick, as it were. And then for the UFC, Cody Garbrandt defending his bantamweight title in Madison Square Garden in November, but it's the secondary fight title fight to George St. Pierre coming back to face Michael Bisping out of nowhere.
Yeah.
It's like, okay.
Yeah, that's a loaded fight.
You never fought in the division.
Right.
And you're coming back and you're getting a title shot because, quite frankly, rules, who cares?
Yeah, that's a loaded fight card, no question about it. And you're right about that. I mean, in any fight where Cody Garbrandt is going to be the number two fight. Well, you look at last year when he won the title, it was that way as well. Having said that, he wasn't on top yet. But him as champion, I don't think he's going to be the number two fight too many times throughout the course of his reign. But yeah, I hear you on that, and it's an interesting place where UFC is in, as well as boxing. One other thing as well here too, just there's so little to talk about with the X's and O's on this, and I almost forgot this one part here. But for a lot of the mouth breathers out there that are talking about, they're confusing really. I think the whole thing of that Mayweather is set up to dominate here, but it is going to be set up to dominate with his jab slowly. Boringly, as he always does, but you get a lot of mouth breathers like, oh, he's going to knock him out in the first round. Who has Floyd Mayweather ever knocked out in the first round? Would Floyd Mayweather...
I don't
think Floyd Mayweather knocked out his baby mama in the first round, okay? He doesn't do... He, you know. And that, by the way, I say that not to make light of what he did, but to make light of him for being a scumbag. But no, he just, that's not his style, right? His style is just, you know, jab, 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 wear a guy down, basically. So, again, it kind of undermines my premise earlier about, you know, if McGregor gets a lucky shot in or anything like that, because Mayweather is all about basically protecting and making sure that will never happen. So this is one of these things where, you know, you're going to want to give a saliva test to Mayweather if he ends up going down during the course of this thing here, because that's just not his style. His style is not to lose. His style is not to win early. His style is just to bore the crap out of people. At least they'll probably be circling each other and mugging facially and doing some of those pro wrestling type things to liven it up. Though.
Yeah, it's funny because, like, I'm thinking about this, you know, like, the last four or five or maybe six or seven Floyd Mayweather fights, especially, you know, casual fans get all excited about Mayweather v. Pacquiao. All the casuals came out for that one. They're like, oh my God, Pacquiao's going to knock out. I'm like, this is going to be every other Floyd Mayweather fight ever.
Right.
He's going to work the jab. He's going to go. It's going to go to the decision. Everyone's going to be all mad and think the other guy won. And if you look at the sport boxing, it's going to be a really boring fight, but he's still going to win on the cards.
Exactly.
And that's what I think we're going to get here. I think he's going to drag it out. And then at the end of the day, Conor McGregor saves face because, you know, Mayweather didn't beat him.
Well, and here's
the
thing.
All he's going to do is argue it. He goes to the judges. They go to the judges' scorecards. It's every other. I mean, you can work the fight if you really wanted to.
Right.
It's like, do Floyd Mayweather style, couple hold spots in there for Conor McGregor. At the end of it, they go to the decision. Conor, no matter, even if he clearly loses the fight, Conor argues it. It's like, that's BS. No, blah, blah, blah. It goes on a huge tirade, and that's the end of it. Everyone's like, oh, man.
Right. You know, that's a very good point, and it's funny because the one pro wrestling match that Mayweather ever did, for a guy who is as boring and ugly aesthetically as his fights are, that was a pretty entertaining spectacle, and as much as I hate to put over anything Floyd Mayweather does, him drinking out of the pimp chalice in the fight, that I will always pop for that. I will always mark out for that moment when he was in there with the Big Show, but I think you're a good person to bring this up with. You and I both being big fans of the pro graps, the sport of kings, as it were, in terms of how people tend to confuse aesthetics, which pro wrestling is all about. It's all about, at the end of the day, was it a good match or not, with dominance and other things like that. Because I go back to, I think it was 2011, I think it was the year, I'll never forget this, the year that Alabama and LSU, they were playing that regular season game. I think they were 1-2 at the time, two great defenses. It ended up being like 9-6 for a final. And it was just basically played more or less in the middle of the field and three and out and that kind of crap. And I remember our good friend, FDH senior editor Jason Jones, bitching on Facebook about, you know, so much for the game of the century, because he thought they meant aesthetics. He thought they meant it would be the most entertaining game of the century. And I posted underneath, I said, look, dude, there's probably a combined 15 guys off of these two defenses that are going to be multiple-time Pro Bowlers for, like, the next decade or so. Like, this is what dominance, especially defensive dominance, looks like. So talk about that, because we a lot of times confuse, and there's the spectacle Saturday night, you know, and people are going to be looking at, oh, the great spectacle, whatever. Don't confuse that with an entertaining fight. Don't ever confuse whether it be dominance that somebody exhibits, whether it be a matchup of skills or whatever. It you know, life doesn't operate the way pro wrestling does, where at the end of the day, the aim is to try to deliver a five-star match. That's not what anything in the realm of actual athletics is ever about. It's not about entertaining us.
Normally, I agree with everything you just said, except in this situation, I think this is entirely spectacle. So, again, the fight 2 weeks after that, that is not.
Right.
That is the aesthetics, and that's, you know, going to be a competitive sporting event.
Right.
I don't see that this as that. I want to believe that it's on the up and up, but at the end of the day, the person who's the promoter is the person who's fighting and who has nothing to lose and really nothing to gain other than money. Like, I mean, there's the people out there that have said, like, you know, oh, Floyd Mayweather, like, if you brought up, if by some happenstance he goes down, like, what it would mean for boxing and how much it would hurt for Floyd Mayweather and all stuff. I don't think Floyd Mayweather cares. All he cares about at the end of the day is cashing that check.
Pretty much.
And, that's what people need to understand. It's all a work.
It just
depends on what level of work you're working here. And Conor McGregor, at the end of this, he's flat out said he wants to cash the paycheck.
Like, yeah.
That's why they're doing this. That's why, and Dana White wants that paycheck. That's all this is. It's a giant exhibition fight that's like, oh, man, it's like the Trump presidency of sporting events. It just took on a life of its own, and here we are.
Well, unfortunately, even with it being a spectacle, we're not going to get what we're looking for here, which is the WrestleMania 2 ending here with Piper and Mr. T, where at least the ending...
Oh, man, if we get that, that's the greatest thing ever. If Conor McGregor, for no reason, just goes in and slams him down, we're like, what just happened? And he just, like, walks out, flips the bird, like, I don't give a... Like, all right, I will not regret... I would not regret having watched that.
Well, I'll tell you what, This is the optimist in me. This is the optimist that wants McGregor, whether it be within or more likely outside the bounds of the rules, to leave Floyd Mayweather laying, is that if it's in your contract to where if you step over the line, you lose the money, you get assessed, whatever, then hey, once you've stepped over that line, might as well go all the way with it. Go to sleep, buddy. Go to sleep.
Yeah, and again, that's why the fans are going to be tuning in to see if, what if this happens, what if that happens, but for my money, at the end of the day, I would not bet on this fight, but if I was a betting man on this one, I would go with the exact same tried and true formula, Floyd Money Mayweather, by unanimous decision, all the judges' scorecards at the end of the day.
I'm not sure I see it. It may go as far as on the scorecards. It's possible. My guess is that he's probably got McGregor worn down enough by the end of the fight that McGregor's out of gas, and you know, maybe it's a thing of not getting up off his stool one of those rounds or whatever the case may be. But it's interesting that, again, and it's such a sham here that, you know, that it. I can't, with a straight face, you know, launch into that part of this by saying, so who do you have this weekend? How do you see it going? Because, you know, to do that is just to play into the whole sham that this spectacle is. We know how it's going to go, barring, again, something akin to the odds of an asteroid hitting the ring or a parachuter, if you want to go back to that Riddick Bowe fight in 93.
Riddick Bowe?
Yeah, yeah. I think it was Bo Holyfield, yeah.
I remember watching that live as a kid. I was the only one, it was my parents were at, like, someone's co-workers,
uh-huh.
So no one was really paying attention, and I'm like, some guy just parachuted into the ring. They're like, what? That was like my first boxing fight live, so I was like, wow, this is like wrestling.
You were like, are they all like this? Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, like, this is great. And then, oh, much to my disappointment.
Oh, man. Yeah. Well, unfortunately, T-Mobile Arena is it has a permanent roof on the place here. It's not like it was back then when it would be like, you know, build a stadium in the parking lot of Caesar's Palace. You know, that's what would allow for that kind of stuff, when the big boxing matches would be out there, Mania 9 would be out there, those kinds of things. But, yeah, now it's all in a sterile arena that's just like any other arena in any other city. So, you know, gone are the days that we're going to see something like that, unfortunately, Jennings.
We can't have anything fun anymore.
Yeah. Gotta take the fun out of everything.
Why don't you bring up WrestleMania 9, man?
Well, because quality-wise, this is going to be the WrestleMania 9 of pay-per-views in 2017, is it not?
Oh, well, is there going to be a Money in the Bank cash-in at the end of this?
That's right. Hogan sort of...
Floyd's going to win, and De La Hoya's going to rip off the suit and be like, I want you right now!
That's right. That's right. Hogan kind of was the pioneer of Money in the Bank, wasn't he?
Yeah, he absolutely was. He told Money in the Bank that. Yeah, that was... he didn't even have a briefcase. Just had Hulk Hogan. He pulled the old creative control card, brother.
Yeah, brother. Yeah, that's where, you know, Chris Jericho from now on has no right to claim authorship of the concept because Hulk Hogan did it in 93. That's outstanding. And there have been rumors, booking-wise, over the period of time on this show, vis-a-vis getting Chris Jericho on the program here, and I will have to bring that up to bust his balls if he ever does come on. They'd be like, hey, with all due respect, Hulk Hogan did it more than a decade before you came up with the idea.
Now, what's speaking of, like, Chris Jericho or whatever, what's going to be more intriguing is the list of all the celebrities they're going to show in the crowd on Saturday night. Like, does the menacing Floyd Money Mayweather have his entourage of featuring the game Triple H and Bieber with him?
Well, you know, if they're going to have Triple H come out with him, why don't they let him do the water spitting thing, you know? That's what I'd like to see.
Why not? Go full 2002.
Yeah. You know, and that's where, you know, I'd like to see it be a thing where if the ticket sales are soft, I'd like to see the celebrities that they pan to in the crowd sort of reflect that and have it be more just like at a B-level type thing at best. Like, here tonight, Charo, Vern Troyer. former guiding light actor Jerry Verdorn, and like I like Jerry Verdorn and I respect him, so I was just using his name to get a cheap laugh there, but you know. That would be outstanding. You know the columnist for the Rochester Daily News, you know.
Mitt Romney.
Well, I think that would be a D level or B or E level celebrity at best, quite frankly. But oh my God, who would have ever thought that such a complete farce of a promotion would give us so much to be able to chortle about? But then again, when you turn loose the great Jake Digman on the mic with Rick Morris, you're gonna get that. So it doesn't surprise me. But we've squeezed so much more juice out of this very very dry rind. So much more than I thought ever would have been possible, my friend.
See, now I told you my idea that I pitched for this.
What?
Like, it's a boxing fight, so, you know, Mayweather wins. They have a UFC fight, and then the rematch in the U.S. of the Octagon, and Conor wins. And then they do the trilogy at WrestleMania. Who goes over?
Well, let's see. Is it the guy who's buddies with Triple H, or the guy who insultingly likes to use the phrase that wrestling is fake? Gee, I wonder which of those two is going over.
I'll give you a hint. It's not the guy with the accent.
Yeah, fella. So that would be truly outstanding. I'd love to see that happen. And again, of all the potential crossovers that we have here betwixt different sports, having it end up and intersect in the ring of the sport of kings, that would be outstanding. But instead, it will be a lesser ring on Saturday night, a boxing / UFC ring, but under boxing rules, so basically more or less a boxing ring. Mayweather-McGregor, it is guaranteed, absolutely guaranteed, to be nowhere near as entertaining and stimulating as our conversation about it was. Nor will it last anywhere as long, probably, as our conversation about it was. In short, people should be paying us $99 for the privilege of listening to us break it down, rather than plunking it down to Floyd Mayweather's production company to watch this farce of an abortion on Saturday night.
That's a great Bobby Heenan always, you want to send me with cash.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's always an excellent credo in the FDH Lounge. And, again, a pleasure as always, my friend. Looking forward to, I hope we get a chance in the near future here to break down Stipe's next fight once he has one. So, Dana White, step up, make it happen. Give Jake Digman and I that conversational fodder as we preview our guy going for the crown, I think you would say, of greatest of all time if he defends the title again successfully.
If one more title, the successful title defense, and he's the only one ever in history to have that feat. So that's a pretty good argument of being the greatest of all time.
Yeah, and he's beaten a couple.
Until then, though, we have our bantamweight champion coming up in November, so maybe we'll get to talk about that.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely, because, again, I am dedicated to the premise that Cody Garbrandt needs to be way more of a household name here, and anything you and I can do along those lines to help give a boost to that fight, absolutely. And GSP being a guy that in the FDH Lounge Pantheon years ago, I voted for him as the greatest MMA fighter of all time. Certainly that night is going to have a lot of intrigue, Jake.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And it's like anything. When somebody has them around for welcome back, you want to see, like, you know, do they still got it? Is it still the same GSP that he was before, up in another weight class? All sorts of stuff. Nobody likes Michael Bisping, so, all sorts of fun things.
Well, I'll leave you with this question. We've talked about this in the past, the similarity of indie wrestling fans and UFC fans sometimes as far as their approach, which is funny because there's a lot of UFC fans that are meatheads that really disdain the concept of pro wrestling, but that there's a lot of similarity. Yeah, that's what they keep saying. Any of those meatheads who have to keep making that point repeatedly here. Let me ask you this. If GSP's having a good fight, given the similarity in the fan bases, any chance we get a chant of, "You still got it"?
Oh, maybe. It is New York. So, yeah. You know, all bets are off here.
You get enough of the hipsters that were at the NXT show Saturday night, you never know. So.
Yeah, you know, I mean, this is the same crowd that gave us a Goldberg Lesnar 1, which I was a part of, so you never know.
You never know. So we got that to look forward to in the months to come. Stipe going for that record. And again, he's beaten some of the best fighters of his generation. And on this streak here of winning the title and the defenses that he has had since then, defending the title in the first round via knockout. So again, making a very convincing case. So we'll be tracking that as well. To watch our boy going for the mantle of undisputed greatest of all time. But in the meantime here, again, this farce that we have Saturday night, again, we've talked about this previously. Sometimes a pro wrestling card can be not the best, i.e. SummerSlam, but when you're watching it with friends, it's always more entertaining. You and I breaking down this farce of a fight Saturday night, like I said, way more entertaining than the evening is going to be. Always a pleasure to be on with you, my friend. Thank you so much for your time.
Oh, likewise. Thank you for having me.
Appreciate it, Jake. Thanks very much, buddy. And thank you, everybody, for joining us today for FDH Lounge mini episode number 870.
As we bring the show to a close, we would like to extend our deepest gratitude to NBC, CBS, ABC, Fox, all Clear Channel affiliates, TNT, TBS, USA, UPN, Deadspin.com, YouTube.com, YTMND.com, MySpace.com, various blogs, Fox News, CNN, CNBC, MSNBC, IamBored.com, Billboard.com, Google.com, ESPN, ESPN2, ESPN News, ESPN Classic, NBA TV, NFL Network, Sports Time Ohio, Athlon Magazine, Comedy Central, Cartoon Network, The Boomerang Channel, QVC, BET, The Spice Channel, Steno Notebooks, Manwich, Papermate Office Supplies, Waitresses, Strippers, Bartenders, Garbage Men, Janitors, Microwave Popcorn, The Writers of The Office, Scrubs, Entourage, My Name is Earl, Oz, Metalocalypse and the Boondocks, Awkwafina, and The Periodic Table of Elements.